Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the Wise Women Media Radio Show. We've had such an incredible week of amazing, not-so-good news stories in most cases, but I wanted to open this show with a song that I think is pretty applicable to what's going on. Listen to the words. This is one of my old favorites.
Thank you.
People Have the Power by Patti Smith, one of my old favorites. I wanted to go over a list of our sponsors so you all know who helps us put on the show every week. Daughters of Isis, Florida Nature Photos, Here Be Monsters on Blog Talk Radio, who helps us, actually gives us this slot on the air every Friday night. Power New Media and Public Relations, Roundtree 7, Tarot and Stars, and the Hoodoo Blog. You can find us online at wisewomenmedia.blogspot.com and hit us up at the GoFundMe link, which you'll see on the right-hand side of the page. It has a picture of me with a hat and glasses. It's under our Facebook and Twitter links. And just know this, that we are not funded by corporate sponsors of any kind. We are able to stay on the air because of your donations. We have some interesting guests tonight. I wanted to cover a few short news stories before we bring them on. We have quite a lot of information from them in regards to what's happening in the Naples area with their new fight with big oil there. Some of the stories I wanted to cover were the big ones that were in the news this week. One of the big ones was the HB 87 bill called the foreclosure bill. It just so happens that Governor Rick Scott signed that into law at 3:37 this afternoon. So I'm going to read a short piece that comes out of Housing Wire. The title of the article is Florida Governor Signs Bill to Speed Up State's Foreclosure Process. Florida Governor signed a much-discussed foreclosure bill Friday, enacting a series of provisions aimed at speeding up the default process in the state. While the legislation is considered a response to Florida's untimely foreclosure timelines, it's a big shift that has attracted a great deal of attention. Attorneys working within the foreclosure space note House Bill 87 comes with new legal and procedural requirements. The Office of Florida Attorney Daniel Consuegra even published an alert for attorneys advising them that HB 87 reduces the statute of limitations for filing a deficiency action to only 1 year from the sale or date of the acceptance of a deed in lieu. That section of the bill takes effect July 1st. So, quoting him, he says, as a result, you will need to act quickly and secure your deficiency judgment. We are prepared and staffed to assist you in securing these deficiency judgments. Furthermore, attorneys say the bill requires additional items to be presented with a foreclosure complaint, namely a certification of possession of the original note or a lost note affidavit filed concurrently with the complaint, Consuegra pointed out. There's so much more to this. I encourage everybody to go to Housing Wire, look up the article, Florida Governor Signs Bill to Speed Up State's Foreclosure Process. I had put out a press release earlier in the week about this, and I will go ahead and just read the first couple paragraphs of that. This is deliberate organized theft. That was my quote. In response to the Bankers Home Foreclosure Bill HB 87, the measure passed by the Florida State Legislature and now awaiting the signature of Governor Rick Scott, of course he signed it this afternoon, would virtually eliminate the ability to depose the banks and challenge the banks' allegations of ownership and mortgage status. It would stand due process on its head by switching the burden of proof from plaintiff bankers to the homeowners being sued. So you can see that at the blog floridasgreenperspective.blogspot.com. Again, floridasgreenperspective.blogspot.com. So that was two really big stories this week. Everybody was waiting for Governor Scott to either sign it or not sign it. He ended up signing it this afternoon. I have some information, the latest information about Bradley Manning's court martial update. This came to me through Vets for Peace this afternoon, and this is their latest. The court martial of Bradley Manning recessed on Wednesday after 3 days. Because the courtroom testimony is proceeding quicker than anticipated, the next of the government's 141 witnesses will not be available until Monday. Lawyers and activists alike welcomed the break, except for a few who had planned to attend the court-martial on Thursday and Friday. The first 3 days of Bradley Manning's court-martial featured testimony from computer forensic experts and famous hacker Adrian Lamo, who turned in Bradley to Army intelligence after chatting online with him, and a parade of Army witnesses who were his instructors, supervisors, and co-workers in intelligence gathering in Iraq. The court proceedings arguably were to Bradley's advantage. His lawyer, David Coombs, elicited testimony that undercut the aiding the enemy charge, as well as other attempts by Army prosecutors to cast Bradley in an unfavorable light. So that is the latest so far. For more information and complete transcripts of the court-martial testimony, you can go to www.bradleymanning.org. Very, very important happening with him and his court-martial, the fact that he has been a very, very brave whistleblower and truth-teller and has suffered so much because of his giving to his own country. So I encourage you to read up on that, find out about truth regarding that, and, of course, the next biggest story has been the surveillance of normal citizens on the computer, our phone call records being released to the government, et cetera, et cetera. The latest information, of course, the one who exposed the story was Glenn Greenwald through an article in The Guardian. He had co-authored the article. Glenn Greenwald was a special guest on Democracy Now! This afternoon. I would encourage everyone to go to democracynow.org. The little bit that Glenn Greenwald is in, that where he's interviewed by Amy Goodman, is called A Massive Surveillance State. Glenn Greenwald exposes covert NSA program collecting calls and emails. There's quite a lot of good information there. You can read the transcript, or you can actually listen to the interview since it's on video there. Now we get to the main story of the night, and I think we have a call on the line, so I'm going to ask them to identify themselves. Caller with the area code of 508, what's your name, and can you tell us where you're calling from?
Karen Dwyer from Naples, Florida.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
Good. Thank you for calling in. I wanted to just let people know that if you have any questions during this interview or any time during the show, you can call us at 213-816-0357. Again, that number is 213-816-0357. And we do have people in the chat room as well. I've just activated the chat. If you don't see it, refresh your screen, and it should pop up. But in any case, Karen, you are one of the two people that I had slated to tell us a little bit about what's going on in Naples, Florida. So let me get a little information about you and what do you do and how long have you lived down there and how did you get involved in this activism for against big oil?
Well, I've lived in Naples for over 50 years, and I went to the first oil drilling informational meeting in Golden Gate, May 30th, and there I met some of the residents, and I just sort of got involved in, you know, trying to stop big oil from coming into Collier. I listened to their stories, and I was most moved by Pamela and Jamie, who live only 1,000 feet from where the oil site is going to go in. And so really that's my involvement. I'm a long-term sort of social justice advocate. And, you know, we helped stop the nuclear power plant from going into Bonita like ages ago, 30 years ago at the Conservancy.
Wow. So how did you initially – so the meeting – was the meeting the first time you had really gotten the details about what Big Oil was going to do in Naples? Or did you hear about it before that and decide to go to the meeting?
Well, actually, I heard about it in the newspaper, and so, I heard about the meeting, so, and about big oil and how they're going to drill for oil in Naples, so I was, I had to go to the meeting.
How far do you live from the actual site where it's supposed to go in?
I live about 12 miles.
And one of the things that I find interesting about the media, what they've been doing is making it sound like it's not supposed to happen in your backyard. It's not like they're trying to frame the people that are against them as pro-alternative sources of energy, activists that really want, clean resources, not dirty ones. And they're making it framed like these are people that are saying, no, not in my backyard, but it can be done in somebody else's backyard. Why do you think that, do you think that's ridiculous, or what's your take on that?
Well, the first meeting was quite literally for residents of Golden Gate, and it's true. There wasn't much opportunity for anyone to speak at the meeting who wasn't in that immediate vicinity. So, I think this is an issue everyone should be concerned in. I mean, oil drilling right next to the Everglades in a panther wildlife habitat is just scandalous. We're all stewards of Southwest Florida. Those who live down here, we want to preserve our paradise. So there hasn't been a lot of opportunity for people to speak out, for the environmentalists to speak, or anyone else. I really think that if Barron Collier Corporation wants to line its pockets with more money, let them turn to wind farms and solar fields. And I'm sure I'm not alone in that thought. Everyone we've talked to says oil in Naples, they just don't know about the proposed drilling wells. Nearly everyone's opposed to it because of the potential hazards environmentally, but, also for the people that live right on top of the oil well. I mean, I don't even know if it's legal to build an oil well 1,000 feet from a family home. It shouldn't
right,
be.
Right. I want to just tell our listeners that if you all want to see the website that's been put up just very quickly, it's called Preserve Our Paradise, all one word, preserveourparadise.org. And, Karen, if you could stand by for me just for a few minutes, I'm going to go ahead and just do the audio feed from your local news channel that talked a little bit about this this issue. I think it's a runtime of about 2 minutes, so just bear with me. I'm going to start that audio feed now.
Golden Gate Estates neighbors alarmed tonight by a letter they got in the mail.
Now, the letter notifies them about the possibility of a Texas company drilling for oil right in their backyard. And they want to know what all this means. Four in the Corner's Julie Salamone is working to get them answers.
This is the letter from Total Safety U.S.
Jaime Durand is startled by this letter he got in the mail, where a safety technician is asking homeowners for contact information and if they have transportation in case the neighborhood is evacuated.
They need the name of the main contact of the household, the number of people in the household, address, and number, where we can be contacted in case of emergency.
Duran lives in Golden Gate Estates off of DeSoto Boulevard South and 24th Avenue Southeast. Neighbors in the area got the letter and wondered why their neighborhood would have to be evacuated.
Very little answers. Very few answers. Few answers that we can rely on or trust.
While the letter neighbors received doesn't explain much, I dug deeper and got this statement from a Texas-based oil and gas company. It explains that Dan A. Hughes Company, based in Texas, is interested in drilling for oil in Eastern Collier. It intends to get a permit to drill 3 test wells over the next year.
We are vehemently opposed to. This is a family neighborhood around here. We have children. And the last thing we need is 18-wheeler trucks filled with flammable oil riding in and out of here.
I took neighbors' concerns to the Texas company. A spokesperson tells me they've entered into an agreement with Collier Resources Company to explore for oil in Collier County, and they plan to meet with residents to hear their concerns.
They're looking for quiet, for a quiet life, tranquility, peace of mind. We no longer have that.
Tonight, neighbors here say, not in my backyard. Julie Zalmoon, Fox 4, in your corner.
Residents living in a one-mile radius of the oil well location received the letter. The process is regulated by Florida Department of Environmental Protection. The spokeswoman tells us they expect the company to submit a drilling permit application very soon. We'll keep you posted.
So that was the local news news story on that. Very disconcerting that they would send this out and nobody would know anything about it. And I'm going to confirm that. Karen, stay on the line with me. I believe we do have Pam coming on.
Right.
Just a moment.
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, that's Pam.
Hello?
Okay, good.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that. Now, I just played the little news clip. Tell us a little bit about the what happened when you got the letter. And then you can tell us a little bit about how you got involved. Go ahead.
Well, we received the letter in the second week of April. And basically, since it was talking about evacuation, we called the sheriff and the fire department thinking they would have some information on this and would know at least something. They knew nothing of it. We finally called Total Safety, and they told us that they were going to put an oil and gas well in. And we had very little information. The county commissioner didn't know. Every department that we talked to didn't know. And then on the 26th, of April, I got in a hold of Ed Garrett with the FDEP, and he told me exactly what was happening. He explained about the oil well, the evacuation that was going to take place, and he said that there would be 70 semi-trucks and trucks bringing in equipment, the rigs. There's going to be chemicals coming in. There's going to be, you know, rigs for the water wells. There's going to be a 1 acre pad that all this is going to sit on with trailers and all the equipment that goes with that. And he told me that they had not applied for the permit yet, but they were going to start drilling by October. And that raised flags with me, because how can you know that somebody's going to start drilling and they hadn't received the permit yet? That didn't make sense to me at all. So that's what probably made the hair on the back of my neck stand up and say, wait a minute, this doesn't sound right. And they informed me that they didn't have to tell anybody anything. And they didn't have to tell the county. They didn't have to tell anybody, which was totally surprising that they could, you know, sneak something in like this and not give us the information beforehand.
So it sounds to me like they already, they know they need the permit, but it sounds to me like they know they're already going to get it, that there's no question.
Yeah. There was no,
I would assume from that anyway.
Flag. Yeah.
Right.
And
now, how did you get to Naples, you and your family? How did you settle there? I mean, why did you pick that place?
Okay, we retired, and we wanted to live a healthy lifestyle, and we decided to settle in Naples because we could grow fruit and vegetables almost year-round, and it was a beautiful piece of land. We've been working on it, planting trees and fruit trees and flowers and, you know, having animals. We are raising chickens. We hope to have more animals. And it's just a lovely property. It's so peaceful. It's so quiet. The people around, our neighbors, are young. Some have children. Some are pregnant, you know, so here we are in a neighborhood that is so multicultural that it's amazing that we help each other. We've learned things from different cultures. So it's been a really good experience. And this is what we came out here to find. and the people who live here have found that this is a healthy lifestyle to retire and to raise children.
So now it's kind of all plans like that, or all plans for that, have been dashed if they continue on with this, because your environment will be toxic. And tell
right.
me more about the water and the aquifer and the impact that this drilling would have on that.
Well, each day of drilling, they use 250,000 gallons of water. They use 7 million gallons of water a month. Now, they have two water wells. They need this water to drill down for the oil and to make the waste disposal well. Now, when they are drilling, putting water from the aquifer, they're draining the aquifer 7 million. They're draining the wetlands, and the wells around here are quite shallow. So it's a big concern, you know, and human error is our biggest problem, because mistakes are made. We've seen this over and over and over. And if they make a mistake and the salt, briny water that comes up while they're drilling is extremely toxic, and it's water. And if that is a spill there and somehow gets out, that will drain faster into the aquifer than any oil, because the oil's thicker and doesn't penetrate as deep. It's still toxic, but it's easier to control than this wastewater, which has the toxic chemicals and also very high saline solution in it.
Is there any saltwater intrusion involved in this?
I don't think, that's a question I'm not really sure about.
Yeah, that's
I
something you probably should ask in your meeting. Tell us, tell the listeners a little bit about the meeting that's going to be taking place on Tuesday.
Yes, we're having a emergency town meeting. We did have a meeting with the people from the Danae Hughes Company, Collier Resources, which owns the mineral rights. Danae Hughes is the drilling company. And we also had a representative from the DEP. That meeting was kind of didn't answer a lot of questions. There were a lot of conflicting answers. A lot of people at that meeting did a lot of research and found that we really couldn't trust their answers, because the research that we came up with was contradictory to what they were saying. So it really was cut short by Commissioner Tim Nance. And we decided to have a public meeting this Tuesday, June 11th, at 5 p.m. at the South Regional Library, which is 8065 Lila Cultural Parkway here in Naples. And this is going to give everybody a chance. This is no confrontational meeting. There is no we don't want confrontation. But we would like to raise the concerns of the people in this area and the people of Naples and anyone else that thinks that this is not the right way to go about digging up oil that will only, I mean, if they collected every drop of oil in southern Florida, it would only last 2 days of consumption here in the United States. And the devastation that they're causing for 2 days is not worth this risk.
No, definitely not. Now, the information should be, for the meeting, is on the website, Preserve Our Paradise.
Yeah, we have preserveourparadise.org. And then we have a Facebook page also called Preserve Our Paradise. And if you go on these pages, the web page or the Facebook page, you will find links to go to the permit, and you will find the letter of from Total Safety, you will find a letter of apology from the well company saying they are sorry that they caused a lot of trauma when they sent out the first letter. I mean, and we found out there were people that were losing sleep. There were people that were suffering, you know, stomach distress because of the uncertainty that when somebody says, I'm going to drill an oil well and it's going to put you and your family at risk, but we don't care.
Right, right. I went ahead and put this as a comment underneath the blog post on wisewomenmedia.blogspot.com. If you
Thank
go
you.
There and click on one comment, it's underneath the picture of the water, palm trees, and fish. You'll see a one comment hyperlink. Click into that,
okay.
And you'll see a link to the Facebook event for anybody
okay.
that's going to be going on Tuesday. I think it's really important. There's so many questions that I have to ask. What is the strategy for dealing with big oil as they come into your community? What's next after this?
Well, maybe Karen can help with that one because we're just taking it one event at a time, trying to we're still trying to negotiate because right now there's only two ways to stop this permit, which is the DEP, and it doesn't look like, I mean, if they meet the criteria on the permit, they have to grant the permit. And the only other one would be Call Your Resources, which could stop the oil well. So we're trying to appeal to the humanity, you know, because it's just not the 30 families. They are using residential roads to bring in this heavy equipment. They are using residential roads for transporting the oil out of this neighborhood. And this is a residential boulevard that has school buses on every corner. We live in an area with wildlife. When I moved into this house, we had 11 bears. Everybody gets along with the wildlife out here. We don't have street lights because the animals, we don't want to disturb the animals. And they're going to put in a well rig that is almost 200 feet, and they're going to light it like a Christmas tree, make enough noise to scare every animal out of this area, and they don't think it's impacting the animals.
Right.
So.
And you know, you're talking about the roads, but the other concern for people that even live far away from you is their use of the water in the drilling.
Right.
And also the toxic chemicals, which are going to be in the air that y'all are going to be breathing.
Right.
So everything becomes toxic, not just to the animals, but to the people too, even if they're not in that Golden Gate residential area. Even people outside of that area will be affected by this. So,
yes, the estate has wells that we send the water to Naples. Naples receives city water but it comes from our aquifers here in the estate. So if anything toxic comes into this aquifer, it affects the people of Naples, the people of Golden Gate, and the aquifer flows down towards the Keys and Miami. So this is going to affect all of Southwest Florida. All of South Florida, for that matter.
Right. And you know, we're in a different aquifer, of course, in the Tampa Bay area, but anything that happens south of here generally has an impact up here as well. So,
right.
And if the thing is, if you let big oil come in and get a foothold, even a small foothold, then it's going to be allowed everywhere else throughout the state. I mean, this is what we've seen throughout the throughout the Gulf Coast region. And most of us that live here that have been hanging on pins and needles about the Gulf oil disaster, not just April 20th, 2010, but since then, and the impact that it's had. We've seen the damage and the people sick and the animals dying and just the whole ecosystem destroyed. So we had talked a little bit on the phone about the Gulf region becoming the sacrifice zone for our country. And it certainly looks like that. And they haven't had a foothold here in Florida because there's been such strong opposition to offshore oil drilling. So now maybe they think it'll be easier to get approved if they can do it on land. This is called horizontal drilling, is it not?
Yes, they're going to drill down over 1,400 feet and then 14,000 feet, and then they'll come up 1,000 feet, and they will drill horizontally for 1 mile.
Oh, my God. That's crazy.
So, and this is the first time that the lower Sunnyland, because Sunnyland is where the oil is, they have an upper Sunnyland and a lower Sunnyland. This is the first time they're going this deep, and they really don't know what they're going to hit. And the driller said that there would be no natural gas, which we know that in the oil wells to the north of us and to the south of us, they've hit natural gas. Now they burn off this natural gas in flares, which now we have a flame coming off also of these wells.
So what is the difference between what they're doing with these procedures? What makes this different from fracking?
Okay,
and I'm asking this not knowing if you know the answer. I'm just hoping you do know the answer because I don't know myself.
They're using chemicals that are used in fracking, but they're saying it's not. Oh, but they're saying it's not fracking because they don't frack the type of limestone rock that we have here in South Florida. You know, it's limestone. It's not that hard rock where they use the high pressurized chemicals. Now, I talked to Ed Garrett at the FDEP, and he said they would know if they were doing fracking because it would cost millions more, and they're not using that.
But it sounds to me like they're fracking. I mean, that's everything that you're telling me, how they're going to do this, sounds like fracking. But they're not calling it that. So do
they
want to get technical one process or two and then say, oh, no, this isn't fracking, but it's kind of like fracking. But to me, it's fracking.
They're using some of the same chemicals that are, well, most of the chemicals that they have listed on their permit are the same chemicals that are used in fracking, but I guess they're also used in, if they're playing games, I don't know what the difference is. I don't know, you know, what they're doing, but the chemicals that they are using are very, very toxic. There is no doubt about that. Mr. Garrett said they are toxic chemicals.
And I'm not sure if you've heard this, but I know I have, but I certainly don't have any proof, but I can certainly get proof or get more information. I have heard from a number of different sources that these chemicals that they use for fracking, that they're probably using for their close to fracking thing down there in Naples, that these liquids are possibly irradiated. And by me saying that, that means they have nuclear components. They're irradiated. It's like depleted uranium, in other words.
I
talking about how these are, but I've heard this from a number a number of people, more than five, that these chemicals that they use are irradiated, and that some of the people that have been subject to living close to these areas, when they do get sick, that at times the symptoms are very similar to nuclear toxicity.
Yes.
So this
that
is something that you need to ask, probably need to ask about in the meeting. And I would say I might have a source of somebody, one or two people, that might have a breakdown on those chemicals and what they are. I don't know if I can get my hands on it, but I would certainly try to get it to you. So you have something in your hand that will show what these chemicals are and how toxic they are. Because obviously your area has become the sacrifice zone of the moment. Because if they're going to continue with this, you're going to have a lot of sick people in that area. The meeting is, now the meeting, who is going to be there that's going to officially preside over this meeting?
I know that that we're asking that everybody gets to speak for 2 minutes, and we're going to have a time 2 minutes, and then we're going to have a set of questions that we're going to ask. The Pierre Bruno is going. It said he was going to be there from the FDEP, but we haven't heard back from anyone from Call Your Resources or Tim Nance's office said they wouldn't be there because they were having another meeting, and they and so they're the only one that declined, and Youth has not answered back either.
Wow. So it's almost like they really don't want. Go ahead.
The commissioner said because of the May 30th meeting that they felt that people were too angry and that they just didn't have to talk to anybody really.
So personally, I'm going to go to Karen now. Personally, I'm going to ask both of you what steps you're taking to move out or what are your long-term plans. Karen, can you kind of give me some feedback on what you would plan to do if you need to leave the area quickly?
Well, really, I'm just sort of helping the Golden Gate residents, so I know more about what we're doing to draw attention to the issue. Are you talking about the emergency evacuation plan?
No, I'm talking about long-term plans. If you live close enough where you would be in a toxic zone, what would your plans be? Would you move out immediately, or what would you do personally?
Personally? Well, I'm not leaving Naples. I'm protecting it from big oil, so I'm not going anywhere. In terms of, you know, what you can really do to protect yourself from carcinogens, the best thing we can do is just, you know, stop it before we actually have an oil well in place that, you know, can bring the toxins. You had asked earlier, what else are we going to do or what are our plans, you know, after this town hall meeting? And I could speak to that if you'd like.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead and let us know.
Yeah, after this meeting, we're going to have another demonstration, a picket in front of the Department of Environmental Protection at the Rookery Bay, where we're going to hand in these comments and questions from that we've gathered at the meeting, town hall meeting. And we're also going to, I've been reaching out to our elected officials, Senator Bill Nelson, Joe Garcia, Kathleen Pasadamo, and Matt Hutson, and Governor Rick Scott, asking them to please tell Department of Environmental Regulation to deny the permit, that as our elected officials, they need to protect us and Southwest Florida. That,
now,
you know, really,
Joanne is a gal that's in the chat room, a friend of mine. She states, So the only difference between fracking and what they are doing in South Florida is the use of high pressure. The chemicals are the same, the outcome is the same, and flaring of natural gas is the same. So she made that statement. She's typing something else, so we'll go ahead and go on until she comments again. Oh, here it is. It makes me crazy that they are flaring off all of this natural gas. What a waste environmentally and monetarily. I mean, it's almost like they're drilling for it and then they open flare it. I mean, what's the purpose of that?
They say there's not enough natural gas to be commercially viable. So you take that.
Well, we already
whatever.
Know that these wells are exploratory, so these are just like test wells. They're not anything that may even be there in the long term, but the issue is they're going to come in and poison and pollute your community, and then chances are they may leave again and leave their mess behind them. So, and
right.
their mess will last for years and years, unfortunately. Pam, what are your long-term plans? If these wells do go through, and you all are kind of stuck there holding the bag with the property, but in a toxic environment, what would you all do at that point?
When we bought this land, our plan was to live here forever until we died. We were going to leave this property feet first, and it really hasn't changed. I'm going to be here. I'd probably be devastated losing animals over this and becoming ill, but I am going to be here and I'm going to be fighting and trying to do whatever I can to bring awareness to, you know, this problem.
It's the situation is such that I think this is the issue. This is the issue that people in the Gulf region can unite around. And I've met some amazing people over the past several years just working on the Gulf oil spill. And people I never thought that I could be friends with, and people that we've really become like-minded so quickly, even though a lot of us are from different economic backgrounds. We don't think the same way on politics. I think the defining issues here are, what do we need to live? We have to have food, clean water, clean air, clothing, shelter. Our needs are all the same. At that point,
right.
we're all at the same level. So it really doesn't
right.
matter who we vote for, who's in power in Washington, D.C., because, as I mentioned before, our elected leaders are bought and paid for, and big oil is just one of the huge conglomerates that funds a lot of these political campaigns. And I really wish people would go to opensecrets.org and you can pick out a candidate and look and see who paid for him, which corporations gave him money. And then you'll see that reflected in whatever decisions this politician will make in regards to legislation and how he votes on it or signs off on it. And it's interesting to see how this plays out in the long run. But most of our elected officials have received campaign contributions from big oil. So they simply do their bidding. Do you have any comment? Do either of you have any comments about that? Or do you think there's a way to change that? Or how do you feel about that?
Well, I think if we... Oh, okay, Karen,
go ahead. Go ahead. I was just going to say that drilling really only seems to profit the corporations, not the people or the wildlife or the wetlands. And it just seems that as one of the richest nations in the, you know, cities in the nation, Naples doesn't need big oil or big gas. And it does seem that our politicians are remiss in this case because, you know, we actually have a 30-year Everglades restoration plan costing nearly $10 billion dedicated solely to restoring the South Florida ecosystem, especially the watershed. Since we're pouring billions into the restoration of the Everglades, why allow an oil company from Texas to endanger the project, as well as our Gulf, since all the canals, you know, lead into the Gulf? Why are our politicians allowing this? Why aren't they speaking out? You know, I asked them for actual statements about this issue, and, you know, it's too early to get a response back yet, but you know, the only conclusion we can draw is that, you know, they're bought by big oil, or at least that's one conclusion, or maybe, you know, it's just really frustrating if we don't have our politicians protecting us.
Yeah, it's been that way for a long time, that they've been bought and paid for. That's why I always tell people, go and see, if you're supporting a candidate, go and see who has given him money, and it'll open your eyes, you know, as to what he's doing and why. Pam, did you have something to say about that too?
Well, I tried to appeal to Call Your Resources. You know, I suggested, you know, maybe that they put a solar farm. After all, we are in Florida, the Sunshine State, and this big open field that they have, instead of putting oil rigs, why not make it a solar farm? This would last for years, and they just said it wasn't profitable enough. And I find this, you know, this short-sighted of so many companies that want the money now. They don't care how they get it. As long as they get it, it doesn't matter. They want it now, instead of getting money over the years for a longer period of time. You know, it's got to be now, you know. And it just amazes me that, you know, there's young people that own this Call Your Resources. There are young people in Call Your Resource that are in the Call Your family, and they're not becoming environmentalists. It says on their website that they are environmentalists, but they are stewards. The quote is, they are stewards of the environment. And when you appeal to them to do something that is environmentally sound, it's not profitable enough. It's kind of disheartening.
Tell some of our, well, I know I'm familiar with the Collier family because I've lived in Florida, but some of our listeners aren't in Florida. Tell us a little bit about the Collier family and how much influence they have in that part of Florida.
Well, they basically originally owned most of this land. They have donated a lot of land to a lot of environmental programs, but they also, like in the Big Cypress, they donated that land, but they still have the mineral rights. And there is a well in Big Cypress that's called Raccoon Point. This is a producing well, and this produces, I forget how many barrels. Not a lot, but it's a profitable business. It also produces natural gas, and the whole plant runs on natural gas. And this is in Big Cypress, along with all the animals, and they say it gets along wonderfully with, and doesn't cause any problems. And they have a pipeline that is going through Big Cypress now with this oil. And the excess natural gas is burned off after they have enough natural gas to run the plant, and then any extra, they just burn it off. So they've been giving a lot. They've given land for the environmentalists, for the animals, but then they drill wells in certain parts of it. So I find it kind of a two-way, well, really a one-way street. I don't think, you know, it sounds nice that you give land to a preserve, but when you come in and dig oil and burn gas in that same environment, I don't know who's the winner.
Yeah. It's Joanne in the chat room actually made a comment. She said, quote, profitable enough means instant gratification, America's biggest problem. And then she made a comment, there is no other way to get corporations out of our government. The only difference between Republicans and Democrats is that the Democrats destroy the earth at a slower pace than Republicans. And then she says, vote Green Party. And then she mentioned it is likely that any oil that would be exported and not even used for the U.S. And that's a fact. We know that for sure.
It.
That
yes,
95% of the oil that comes out of the Gulf is exported overseas. We already know it's a huge portion. So it's not going to all this craziness about it's going to lower our prices at the pump and all of that. It's not true.
No, it's not.
And then Joanne also mentions the Collier family is no different than the Starkey family. They live up here in Pinellas County, or the Mitchell family, or any of the other original families of Florida who own huge tracts of land, get huge tax breaks for land donation while keeping mineral rights. There we are. We talked about mineral rights in our pre-interview. So tell us a little bit about the mineral rights.
The Collier Resources, which is the Collier family, they own 800,000 acres of mineral rights all the way from Fort Myers down to Miami, over 800,000 acres.
Wow.
So they own a lot.
So they own basically a good chunk of the Everglades, a big piece of it. Wow.
Yes.
Now, are they also responsible for allowing Big Sugar in that area?
I'm not quite sure about that. I don't know if Karen knows or not.
Karen,
no,
do you know anything about Big Sugar, or whether the Colliers have their hands and their sticky fingers in that too? Or
no.
I said sticky because it's sugar.
I really don't know.
Okay.
No, I don't know.
I would imagine they might be a family that's involved in Big Sugar too, and there's been, you know, quite a lot of backhanded dealings with that industry as well as Big Oil. I just really don't know what to say except that this is going to be a huge, huge fight for the people in Southwest Florida to protect this portion of land, this little piece of paradise. And I'm encouraging people to either get in the chat or ask questions. Again, if anybody does want to call, the number's 213-816-0357, 213-816-0357. Josh says, Florida has a pretty lengthy history of people like the Collier Starkeys, et cetera. They come in and, wait a minute, I got a whole bunch of things here. They come in and pillage the state without caring about the effects as long as they make their money. And then Joanne says, the Starkey family here in Pasco County donated thousands of acres to land for use as parks, but are allowed to graze their cattle for free and retain the mineral rights for that land while reaping huge tax benefits. So a lot of this goes back to, you know, taxes or not being taxed, as we know many of the rich are not. So there you go. I wanted to let people know about this meeting, so let me go to that. This is, if you go on Facebook, you can put in the search on Facebook, Emergency Town Hall Meeting Against Drilling in Naples. So this event is going to be taking place on Tuesday, June 11th at 5 p.m. at the South Regional Library. The address is 8065 Lely Cultural Parkway, L-E-L-Y Cultural Parkway, Naples, Florida, 34113. And the question is, oil drilling in Naples, are the people going to allow this to happen? What do we have to do to fight against it? This will be your chance to speak at this particular event. You'll be able to speak for 2 minutes. It will be a timed 2 minutes. You have to come with your remarks already prepared.
Right.
And also round two, round three, join us the following day as we deliver the comments to the Department of Environmental Protection, 4 p.m., Rookery Bay, 300 Tower Road, Naples, Florida. Representatives of the Department of Environmental Protection, Hughes Oil, Barron Collier, Collier County Commissioner's Office, the Fire Department, Southwest Florida Water Management and Conservancy are invited to participate in this event. The website is Preserve Our Paradise. Let me get back to the event here. If you need to contact anybody that's working on this initiative, the email is contact@preserveourparadise.org, or you can give them a ring at 850-329-5987. I hope I said that clearly for everybody to understand. And, of course, I'll be posting stuff about this on my page, and it's also linked on our wisewomenmedia.blogspot.com. So you can go right to it and go to the event and get the information. I wanted to play this last video that's on this page. This is an audio feed. We played the one local news blurb of 2 minutes. This one runs about 2 minutes as well. So just a moment as I cue this up. And this is the video is Outrage Over Oil Drilling in Golden Gate Estates. One moment.
Oil outrage in Collier County. More than 100 neighbors from Golden Gate Estates speaking out against a plan that could mean drilling for oil near their homes. For New Corner's Katie Jones live, where a very heated meeting has been taking place tonight. Katie?
Oh, yeah. Heated is an understatement. These residents came at the Dan A. Hughes Oil Company hard. They want absolutely nothing to do with oil drilling in their neighborhood.
Jaime Duran moved to this home tucked away in Golden Gate Estates for some peace and quiet.
Of course, before it's a little bit like a small piece of paradise.
But fears his new neighbors will cause serious commotion.
Well, major concern is going to initially is going to be noise, traffic. These are not streets that are designed for that kind of heavy traffic.
Last month, Jaime and his neighbors who live near this sign on DeSoto Boulevard got a letter asking for personal contact information in case of an emergency. They soon found out a Texas-based oil company wants to drill in the area, an idea that worries neighbors like Eduardo Villalonga.
It's going to be like 24 hours, 7 days a week that you're going to have to be worrying about, you know, something happening. I don't want to put my family. I don't think anybody has the right of putting my family at risk.
The company has applied for 3 permits with the Florida Department of Environmental Protection to drill for oil. If successful, the company says it will be a big win for Collier County.
If it works, there will be a definite impact on this community. And a lot of the money will stay in Collier County.
Neighbors say they don't care about the cash, but rather the safety of their community and environment.
What kind of plans are there for the residents that live out there for fire?
I've been in the business for 37 years. I've drilled thousands of wells in lots of areas. Very dry, much drier than what you got here. And I can't think of an incident.
Living right next to that well, Jaime doesn't want to take those chances.
They tell us that it is safe and that they've never had an accident. But do you really want to be the first one?
Now, whether or not this company is allowed to drill is ultimately up to the FDEP. No word yet on if or when they'll make a decision, but we'll, of course, keep you updated with any new information as we get it. We're live in Naples tonight. Katie Jones, Fox 4, in your corner.
So, Pamela and Karen, was that the meeting that took place on May 30th that they were referring to in that little news?
Yeah.
Okay,
exactly.
So the other question I had was, the first oil rig, supposedly, that they have operational that's somewhere else, did they get a permit for that already?
Yes.
So
yes,
they have
that
one
well
permit.
Yes.
And that well is operational. They're using it right now.
Well, they're still doing testing, and I called the FDEP and asked if they had struck oil, because according to the statistics, most of the wells turn up dry, and according to them, there's only a 2% chance of hitting oil, which we find outrageously probably not correct. But they have a year of secrecy on whether they found oil or not. So, you know, it's proprietary, and they will not release that for a year. So we don't know if it's even hit oil. They're saying they're still testing, and even if they hit oil, we won't know for a year.
Are you all worried about earthquakes or anything like that in your area?
Well, it's been brought up about the foundation cracking, because we are basically, the houses around here are on a limestone rock, and any type of, they've already done the sonar where they put a low explosion to find the oil. They have been doing that in this area, and even though it's not a high amount of dynamite or explosion, you know, what is that doing to the rock underneath our houses? Will it start cracking? I'm sure that they will not, they will say it has, if anything happens, it's not their fault, it's somebody else's fault. But this is another concern, you know. There's so many problems and so many things that can go wrong that they're too numerous to mention.
Right. Well, I would definitely encourage you all to read Dr. Ricky Ott's books. Sound Truths and Corporate Myths is one of the mm-hmm. books. The other book she wrote was Not One Drop. About her experience with big oil. She's an Exxon Valdez survivor. She's also a toxicologist. She worked very hard up in Alaska after the Exxon Valdez and actually became kind of a policy wonk and did a lot of work in D.C. Working on legislation. And she was one of the first experts that came down to the Gulf region after the Gulf oil disaster happened, and worked with the people, mobilizing the people throughout the Gulf region, basically giving them a heads up on what was going to happen next through her experience, through her prior experience. So I would highly suggest getting her down to your area, maybe to do a series of workshops or just to unify the people there. So you know what, you know who you're fighting against and how to fight against big oil. So a lot of work to do. And I will go ahead and forward those books on the event page, so you'll see her name and the books themselves and her website. So
yeah.
But did you all have anything else to add before we close the show?
Well, I wanted just to tell everyone that they won't even test the water of the wells around here and find out what's in the water. We are doing we are testing our own water and sending it out of state, but the FDP and the county said they are not obligated to test the water before they start drilling, or as they're drilling, or even after they're done drilling. So this expense is going, we are going to do our own test. And for me, that was quite surprising that they wouldn't even do a water test.
No, and the water test isn't going to cost them any more than $300, $400, but they won't do it, because if something comes back in that water, then you all will be able to sue them. And then, of course, they're the ones held liable and accountable. and they're not going to admit to that, so they're not going to do the tests. Don't blame it on somebody else. The water becomes tainted.
They're saying, well, what if somebody changes their oil in the car and that leaks down into the aquifer? It's not their fault that the oil's in the water. Somebody changed the oil in their car and dumped it somewhere.
So they're talking about a difference between a pint of oil and, you know, maybe 10,000, 20,000, who knows how many gallons. You know, just like the last big oil spill, which I think was in, was that one in Arkansas or Missouri? There was a big one.
Yeah,
in
Arkansas.
A residential neighbor.
Right.
And it was the pipeline that broke. So, they're going to just blame it on somebody else, and they'll say they're not guilty, and that way you can't hold them accountable if you decide to get an attorney. Your best bet is to do what you're doing, get a whole bunch of people together and send in one test or a couple of different tests from your neighborhood. That way you can know your water, whether your water's clean or not. Somebody's going to have to do something if the aquifer becomes tainted, though.
I would hope so.
You know, that's not hurt by somebody changing the oil in their car. That's absurd.
No.
That's what they were trying to say in the Gulf region with people boating and recreating on the water, that if there's like a slosh of oil out of somebody's outboard motor, that's what pollutes water. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
You're going to get tar balls washing up on the beach from that. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. So did anybody have any other stories? Anything else you all wanted to cover before we close?
I just wanted to say that the permit is expected to be approved as early as July, hence the urgency. We really need everyone to come out. We really don't have much time to stop that permit. And, you know, also that it really does sort of involve us all. The hazards are too great. You know, think of our environment, the Everglades, Rookery Bay, Corkscrew Swamp, the Gulf of Mexico. You know, our clean air and water, we're all sort of downwind from, you know, an oil field. You know, pollutants and toxins can be carried everywhere. So we just want to invite everyone to join us.
Now, Joanne says she has a couple comments in the chat really quickly. Not shocking that they won't do the water test, but glad that you all are. We have to grab the bull by the horns, do the tests ourselves, and publish the results as widely as we can. Social media rocks. I so agree with that. You know, if you guys are doing the and anything does come back, you know, tainted, then that information needs to go out quickly.
Of course.
And then she asked Governor Scott, do you think he would do something about the toxic water? And I answered, nope, nope, probably not. And she says, Governor is a corporate tool, and we can't count on him or anyone else of his ilk to take care of us. So that's kind of where we're at. This is a time where, like I said before, it doesn't matter what political party you are, who you voted for in 2012. We all need the same things. We all need food, water, air, clean air, shelter. We need to hold our neighbors in high esteem, respect them. They need to do the same for us. We all need to be of one mind, like-minded, hold hands, and help each other step up. That's all we can do. We're in for some tough times. I don't think in my personal opinion, I don't think the environment's going to get much better. I don't think the corporation's hold over our government is going to change. So it's time for us to, as Cindy Sheehan would say, to recreate our own communities and know who we can trust and who we can build and share with in our communities and make our communities happen, because real politics really is local. And forget all the stuff at the top, because the change isn't going to go from the top down. The change is going to happen from the bottom up.
Okay.
So with that, I want to just thank both of you for being on the show tonight, for letting us know what's going on. Please viral the link so other people can hear the show and know what's happening in Naples. I was just asked questions this past couple weeks from people, is there fracking going on in Florida? And I said,
well,
yeah, it's already happening, because I knew of another location where something else is going on, and I'm not sure what. But with this, we know that they're already doing it, and it's all done completely in secret. So with that, I want to say good luck to you ladies. I hope I can get to the meeting and meet you all in person. If I can't, then it'll have to be the next meeting you have. And
yes.
If you can live stream it, great. I would put that link on the Facebook event page. And I want to say good night, and we'll be standing strong in solidarity. Okay?
Okay. Thank you very
much. Thank you
much.
Very much for the airtime.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Good night, everybody.
Bye.
And
okay,
bye. Good night. And we'll be on the air next week with another show Friday night at 10. And thank you for being a part of Wise Women Media, the radio show tonight. Don't forget to hit us up on our website at wisewomenmedia.blogspot.com. And if you can contribute, just head over to the GoFundMe link and help us out so we can stay on the air. Good night. And we'll see you on the radio next week. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Thank you.